I know you came to Chicago at 18, but you were already singing then. Did you start singing in church or?
I was singing gospel in church. This was down in Memphis. And Memphis is home for me. That's where I was born and raised. And of course, when I was singing gospel, this was not for no money, nothing like that. This was just something that we all did in my household. Everybody went to church, and I would sing with the gospel, you know, choir. Also, in the meantime, I would listen to the radio. B.B. King had a radio program at that time advertising Pepticon Show is good. You can get it anywhere in your neighborhood. And this 15-minute program, he would play blues, and I would listen to other blues singers like Muddy Waters, Memphis Minnie, Bessie Smith, Howlin' Wolf, Jimmy Reed, and all those kind of people, you know. So, you know, this is where I really, you know, learned and knew about, you know, the blues. But I've always liked what I heard, you know, and it kind of stuck with me. After I moved to Chicago, I still loved singing the blues. I still loved listening to the blues. But all of those people that I had been listening to on record seemed like they was all right here in Chicago. I started going around to local clubs and, you know, sitting in with the guys, different bands and things, you know, and they got to all know me, you know. So in the meantime, this is how I met up with Willie Dixon, who was an A&R man down at Chess Records. And he was the one that got me started my first recording down at Chess.
Mm-hmm. Did you come to Chicago because of the music, or you came here anyway and then started seeking?
No, I came to Chicago with my boyfriend, which is my husband, and been ever since, and that's Pop Taylor, who you see in the room in there. He came to Chicago to get better work, and which he did. And so it turned out that after him getting work here, we both got work. And we stayed on here in Chicago and been here ever since, you know. So then I got my, after I got my first recording for Chess, I just, you know, that's when I formed my band, you know, together and start traveling around and everything. But things didn't really turn around so far as my career until I did Wang Dang Doodle, which was a million seller. And that's when I really got on the road, and I've been, you know, going like ever since with that.
Mm-hmm. And that was like 70?
That was in 1967.
67, okay. So when you were singing before, that has now become your trademark, I suppose, and people will be most familiar with that. Did you work yourself into that kind of belting style, or did you do some of those?
You know, that style was just a God-given talent and a style that I didn't make it up. It just came out naturally, you know, that just the way I sound when I sing.
No matter what you sing?
So when I was singing gospel, you know, it would always come out like that, you know, kind of rough. And so in singing blues, it come out the same way, you know. But it's not a style that I, you know, originated. Just, you know, something that I guess I was born with.
Mm-hmm. Let me be sure this is recorded. Then have you tried, yeah, I mean, you sing some other, a mix of blues, of course. They're not all that kind, but you're not the sugar in your bowl type. Do you sing some songs like that? What happens when you do?
Well, now, are you speaking of old traditional blues? Or are you speaking about, you know, this what we call cream puff blues, you know, is so modern until it don't even sound like blues.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the type that you're talking about?
You can dress them both. You obviously
some of both, but what I do is still blues. Everything I do is blues. I do up-tempo, meaning fast tunes. I do slow tunes, in-between songs, what we call ballads and things like that. Because, you know, I find that audience, when I'm working on the stage, you know, it's all kind of people with all kind of moods. It's in an audience. And I'm trying to please everybody, and I'm trying to reach out to everybody's mood. So, you know, some people come in to hear you, and they just want to hear the old, slow Mississippi traditional blues. And then I'll sing something like, "I'm a woman, baby, please don't dog me." You know, "The devil have a field day," them type of songs. Then here's somebody else. They like blues, but they like up-tempo, something they can dance to, or, you know, pop to, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I'll do something like "Come to Mama," "Wang Dang Doodle," "Hey Bartender," you know, that sort of thing. Then here's somebody else. They just want something soft, in between. Then I do a ballad like "I'd Rather Go Blind," "Walk in the Back Streets," those type of songs. So this is why I tend to do, you know, all type of blues, you know, mix them up, and that way you can reach out to, you know, most of your audience.
Is there one kind that's your favorite, though?
My favorite singing is what the audience like. You know, I don't try to do nothing for myself or feel good over it, because I could pick out something as my favorite and do it and really enjoy it, and it might not be the favorite to, you know, my audience, and then it wouldn't be to help none, because my goal is to make people happy with my music and reach out to those that's into what I'm doing, you know. So my favorite audience is those that's into what I'm doing, and it doesn't matter whether it's 10 people or 10,000, I work just as hard in a little smoke nightclub as I would in a big Carnegie Hall, you know. This is how I work.
Is there a particular song, though, that you like best that says something to you that...
Well, now, I like quite a few of them that I do that I like. For instance, that this tune I wrote is the answer to Muddy Waters' Manish Boys called "I'm a Woman." I like that. I also like one that I did called "It Took a Long Time," one that I wrote.
Is there something in that you can just read me some of the lyrics or give us an idea what's well, in there that you
The one called "It Took a Long Time," it says, "It took a long time to get you off my mind. You say you don't like my fishing, but you keep on wetting my line." So, you know, the other one, "I'm a Woman," is called "I'm a Woman, I'm a Ball of Fire. I'm a Woman, I Can Make Love to a Crocodile." You know, that sort of thing.
And Muddy Waters, you must have talked to him about that at some point. What did he say when that came out?
He was kind of surprised, you know, and but he liked it, and, you know, he thought it was a good idea. And I even spoke to him about it before I did it, you know, and he said, "Yeah, go ahead," you know. So after it was done, he was pleased with it.
Did you perform them together?
Yeah, we have did it together several times on the bandstand, yeah.
That'd be fun. You started writing after you went to Chess Records, is that right?
I was writing when I was with Chess a little bit. I'm not a real songwriter, but I manage to come up with some tunes. When I do an album, maybe one or two tunes off each album, you know. Since I've been with Alligator, I've been writing more than I did when I was with Chess, you know.
And I know I read somewhere that Willie Dixon sort of got you started writing. Did he encourage you to do it? Well,
he used to talk about me writing, and I could write this song and that song. And I said, well, no, because I'm not a songwriter, and I wouldn't know what to write about. So he would say, like, well, you just look around you, you know. You write songs from everyday living, just watching people, going about their own, doing their own things, you know, people talking, and you just pick up ideas about general life, you know, and this is what you write about. So I learned that over the years, that when I write a song, you know, I just get ideas from, you know, just listening to people talking, something they do, whatever, you know.
Your life isn't full of the blues, is it? I mean, these aren't all your own experiences.
No,
you're married to the same man all the time.
No, not at all. You know, all these things I be singing about, no, that's not my life at all. But like I say, it's somebody's life. And, you know, hopefully when I do a tune, you know, I intend that it reaches out to whoever, you know, that's really... You know, some people just like certain tunes, not because they live in that life or been through that life. They just like the way, you know, I'm singing it.
Mm-hmm. Are you writing anything now? Are you working on anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to work on, you know, some things now, you know. Like my granddaughter was talking the other day, and she was singing this song that some group put out. And it says, she says, ain't nothing going on but the rent. So with her saying that, it gave me an idea. And I came up with the idea of saying, ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. So I'm writing a song from that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The blues... I mean, you say that whatever you sing sort of has that same style to it, but you settled in on the blues for a reason, I suppose.
I what?
You settled on the blues, that's what, for
that,
a reason.
That is my favorite, you know, that is my favorite singing. You know, I chose that because I love blues, and not because I don't know how to sing rock, jazz, and, you know, ballads and things like that, but... this is what I really want to do. It's what I enjoy doing, singing the blues.
And why, can you say?
Well, first of all, I like the blues because that's what I like. And everybody have a choice, you know, mm-hmm. of their favorite music. And I do like all music. But also, there's not a lot of women today that's singing the blues since Bessie Smith and... Billie Holiday and, you know, those Big Mama Thornton, you know, it's not a lot of women out here singing the blues today. So I feel that it's kind of unique that, you know, I hang in there for the blues, keep the blues alive, you know. It means something to me, and I'm sure it means something to all the blues lovers all over the world.
It must have been hard to get in. I mean, you said you hung around long enough till people started asking you to sit in. But it must have been hard. There were so few women doing it then, and at Chess, there were very few women they signed.
Yeah, still, you know, just a handful of women to a whole crew of men just singing and playing guitar. It makes a big difference. You know, it's much harder for a woman because in the first place we are not doing our own, you know, playing our own instruments when most men's is, you know. But, you know, like I say, I just was sitting in with different guys. This was for my own enjoyment. Yeah, I wasn't getting paid for it. I was doing it just because I wanted to do it, you know. And by doing so, this is, you know, how I got to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Was there resistance? Did you have trouble getting in to play with some of these guys, or even getting your record sold, do you think?
It wasn't no problem just getting in, singing with these guys, because they were just in public clubs, you know. And it would be different ones, you know, that's just sitting around or hanging around, letting me come up and do a tune, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, most of the musicians was pretty, you know, neat about that. They didn't care. It gave them a break for somebody to, they wasn't getting a lot of money, no way. So for somebody else to come up and pass the time and do a tune, you know, it was kind of fun to them too, just help pass the night. So anyway, most of the people around over Chicago got to where they, you know me just from sitting in like that. So when I got my record out and started, you know, singing, you know, a lot of them remembered me from that.
Did you ever find any real discrimination because you were a woman singing the blues, either in the industry or?
No, not really. You know, like I said, the only difference is with the women's and men's, most of the men's are playing their own music, mm-hmm. and the women's are not. But other than that, I haven't really found no, you know, discrimination.
And so many of the blues songs are pretty anti-women. I mean, they paint a pretty bad picture of the woman waiting at home to collect the money with a frying pan in one hand. And, you know, I mean, is that partly why you wrote the I'm a Woman, for instance? Or have you ever felt any need to, like, you know, defend women in the world of the blues?
Well, I'm defending them all the time. In my songs, you know, because where the men are singing and talking about the women's waiting for them to come home when sometimes they never return, I'm also singing and showing them where don't just sit and wait. You know, like this one tune I did is called I Can Love You Like a Woman, I Can Fight You Like a Man. You know, so it's like you know, the expression and the meaning of the song is, you know, I can love you as long as you let me, but then you act right, but then I can also, you know, turn the other cheek too. So, you know, it's just an idea of, you know, what it means. Not that all of these people do this, you know, it's a lot of people, like I say, listen to tunes and buy tunes because they just like the tune, not because they're going through that.
Uh-huh. Can you sing one of the verses of that easily enough?
It says, I always thought that a man should be the boss in his home. But how can a man run his castle when he's always gone? But listen, I tried to do the things for you that a woman should do. But you take me for granted, baby. You must think I'm some kind of fool. But here's some food for thoughts. And I hope you understand. I can love you like a woman, but, well, also fight you like a man. And don't think nothing about it. So,
that's telling him.
Song a little different with, you know, not having the music.
Oh, sure.
But it's kind of neat tune.
The other one I think I'd like to just hear a verse even of is the I'm a Woman, since that sums up from what you done too.
Oh, okay. Let me
That's right. I know it's hard to just drop everything and belt it out.
It just says, when I was a little girl, dun 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 dun. Only 12 years old, dun, 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 dun. I couldn't do nothing, dun, 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 dun. Save my doggone soul, dun, 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 dun. My mama told me, dun, 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 dun. The day I was grown, dun, 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 dun. He said, sang the blues, child, dun, 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 dun. Sang it from now on. Dun, 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 dun. I'm a woman. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah. dun, 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 dun. I'm a woman. Dun, dun, dun. I'm a ball of fire. Dun, 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 dun. I'm a woman. Dun, 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 dun. Make love for the crocodile.
That's great.
Okay.
Do you, you don't play any instruments then?
No, I play guitar for my own enjoyment, right here in the house. I don't take it out the door.
You don't think you're good enough?
I'm not good enough. But I can play around, you know. I play around here in the house.
That helps you write the songs?
A little bit, and then I just do it for my own enjoyment, because my little grandson, he be trying to play guitar and drums and stuff, and my husband, he be around here picking on the guitar and stuff, so we just more or less like be jamming, you know, amongst ourselves, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the accident. It's been about 2 months now.
Yeah, exactly. The 4th of April will be 2 months. Mm-hmm. The accident was a very bad accident. And it was kind of a scary one when I look back on it. Mm-hmm. But it's one thing about the accident was that we was very fortunate to be alive. We was very blessed that we wasn't killed, because our van we was traveling in, we was scheduled to work at the University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee. And we was like about a mile and a half from the hotel when our van plunged over a mountain cliff down in Lookout Mountains in Suwanee, Tennessee. And it was like about 200 feet to the bottom of this cliff. On the way down, our van hit two trees, and it was like a nightmare. It was like something in the movie. When our van hit them trees stopped the van, and them big limbs, you know, branches from the trees held that van there, keeping it from going down to the bottom of that cliff. And we stayed there, hung up in them trees, until rescue came and got us out.
How long
and
was
that's,
that?
I guess about an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's what kept us from going to the bottom of the cliff. And that's what saved our lives.
And how many of you were in the van? Six?
It was six of us in the van. It was me and my band. Mm-hmm. Members. And I ended up with three broken ribs, a broken shoulder and collarbone that I'm recovering from right now. But I'm healing real good. I'm doing fine. I'm under the care of the doctor once a week, therapies and stuff like that. So one day at a time, I'm getting better and better.
When do you think you'll be able to work again?
Hopefully. I'm scheduled to start back to work the last week of May. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the doctor said it takes from 6 to 8 weeks for my ribs and shoulder and stuff to heal. So I told my agent, I says, that's medical terms. I said, but my body will let me know when I'm able to go back out there and try it again. Mm-hmm. So I said I would give it a try about the last of May, and I'll know then whether, you know, I'm really well enough to do it. But I think I'll be able to do it by then.
How much time do you spend on the road?
Well, I was out there like 10 months out of a year. Mm. And that was pretty heavy, you know. And I'm not sure I'll work that study when I go mm-hmm. back.
Pops was with you also. He's not in the van.
He was driving the van when the accident happened. It was we was on a 2-lane highway. It was at night, very foggy. And the road, it wasn't a highway, it was a 2-lane road going through the mountains. And a road that had more curves than that Cobra sitting there. And we had a blowout and went right over one of the curves.
What do you think about all that's going on Sunday night, this concert? It's a real impressive list of people coming together.
Well, I think it's real beautiful, and I can't even express how grateful, thankful I am to know that so many people, you know, appreciate me and my music enough to do this for me, to put this on for me, you know. Because it wasn't my doing at all. It was the doings of, you know, the people. And I just think it's wonderful, you know.
And this is for members of your band as well. How are they doing, respectively?
Well, they all doing fine. My bass player, which was the worst off, he's still in bed. You know, he's the one had the two broken legs and pelvis.
But prospects are good. They expect him to heal.
That's what we's hoping. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we's hoping. And the rest of the band are doing fine.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the state of the blues in Chicago today? It seems like so many of the old South Side clubs, you know, have closed, and there was sort of a lack of interest. Now there's the new North Side hub, it seems, on Halsted. Are you happy with the way things are going for the home of the blues, if that's what this is?
I don't find no faults in it. You know, I don't see nothing wrong with the way things are going, you know. It's a lot of clubs on the North Side that's open today for the blues, meaning that it gives more people places to go that want to hear the blues, also give the musician, the local musicians, more places to work, you know, so I think it's a good deal.
A lot of people will say that it's just not like the old days. Now you have yuppies and they come in their Volvo wagons and they drink Perrier and listen to the blues, and it's not the same as it was on the South Side.
Well, on the South Side, it was only the, you know, the black clubs, and a lot of the whites didn't come on the South Side anyway. They never have, and they never will. So it never has been, you know, that much going on the South Side. There was a lot of clubs on the South Side, but like I said, there was black clubs, and which was carried black audience. The clubs on the North Side is white clubs, and that's where, you know, that's what's up there. It's white audience. There is some blacks go up there, but it's 90% white. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's the difference.
Do you still find them as much into it as the old crowds?
They seem to be into it. All of those that's around when I'm up there, they seem to be really enjoying it.
Is it good then that the audience has expanded for the music?
Oh, I just love it. You know, I'm so glad that they have expanded. This is why I'm going all over the world, because it's expanded all over the world, Europe and everywhere.
You get a big reception in Europe too, don't you?
Very big reception, and the people just love the blues over in Europe. I'm getting ready to go to Australia now. Mm. And, you know, that means they love the blues over there too.
When is that trip?
It's in August, coming up in August.
You know, I interviewed some of the guys down at the Musicians Building a few months ago, and they tour regularly in Europe. And is it some way that the old American blues is more appreciated there? Do you feel that you're more well-known there?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm more well-known, but I would say that I am well-known, you know, because I know that I'm well-known here in the United States, too. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I'm traveling, you know, all over the United States. going everywhere.
What are some of your biggest audiences in Europe? Where do you play there?
I'm all over Switzerland. You know, like Montreux, Switzerland, Geneva, Lausanne, Switzerland. Also, a lot of places in France. Mm-hmm. You know, Paris, Germany, Frankfurt, Hamburg, Stuttgart, Germany, Belgium, Copenhagen, Denmark. Where else? I worked. Worked London, England, and I just did a tour here about, must have been about 6 months ago, in Italy. I worked Rome, Italy, and a lot of other places over there, yeah.
Did you ever think the blues would take you to places like that?
No, I did not. I mean, some of the places that I go is, you know, it really surprised me, you know, that they really want to hear the blues and they love the blues like they do.
Do they tell you what kind of a chord it strikes in them? What kind of comments do you get when you play somewhere like Germany? Any English comments that you...
The comments that I get is they just talk about how they love the concert, how they love the show and, you know, that sort of thing, same as they do here.
What do you think it is about the blues that makes it so universal?
Well, evidently they like what they hear, and that's the music. The blues has, it tells a story. What I mean by story, it has a meaning. Everything I sing about has a meaning, you know. So I guess maybe that is one of the things that they, you know, pay a lot of attention to. Mm-hmm. It's the meaning of the words, the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, I wanted to ask the meaning of your nickname. Your real name is Cora.
So. Cora. My nickname is Coco, and that nickname comes from, I used to eat a lot of chocolates, and I love chocolates, anything, chocolate, candy, cake, cookies, ice cream, whatever. And, you know, my family started calling me Hot Chocolate Little Coco. And now I'm Big Coco. Yeah.
How long is that since you were little?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see if there's anything else I might. I guess my only other question is, do you think that the accident will change what you do at all? Does it, I mean, in the very least sense, you know, do you expect to write something about it? Or maybe in a broader sense, is it, will it change your music, do you think?
What?
The accident.
Oh, I don't know. I don't intend for it to change nothing, you know. When I'm well enough to do it, my plans are to go back out there and do it and put the accident behind me, you know, and just go on with my life, because the accident was just what it says, accident. And that happens every day. It could have happened, you know, if I had been right here in the house, I could have left going to the grocery store and got shot down or whatever. You know, people, it's happening every day. I could have been here in my bed and got half burned to death, you know, because my house caught a fire, you know. So it's just one of those things I hope will never happen again, but still, it was just an accident.
Mm-hmm. Okay.